Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Vampire Breath. Sorry, Breath. There you go. By R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. The cover of it is a vampire that I think is supposed to be in a coffin, but it looks much more like a treasure chest. And he has some dead flowers, and there's a bottle that says Vampire Breath that he's either breathing into or inhaling. And
is that like DMT or something?
Oh, it's... No. It's way better. And what it says is, open wide and say, mouthwash! This is book number, I think, like 49, and he's really, really... Yep, 49. He's phoning it in. Anyway, I'm here with Nick, who you remember from reading... Which one did you read?
Ayo, Return of the Living Demi Part 1.
Uh-huh.
I was a motherfucking slappy.
Yeah.
I think. And I did the piano one, too.
But oh, piano lessons?
Piano lessons can be murdered.
Yeah.
But thanks for having me here.
Yeah, so Nick's here, and it was Nick's idea. And I was like, yeah, you want to do like a Give Yourself Goosebumps? He's like, no, I'll just hang out. So he's like, what's the fat guy from the Tom Green show?
I don't know.
You're like the skinny fat guy.
Okay, the ginger, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
you're like a swarthy, skinny Glenn Humblick.
I'll be like Baldywood.
Yeah. Don't be so hard on yourself. Anyway, and oh, buttons. I know I have a bunch of emails I haven't responded to on those. They're at work. I've been busy at work, so I haven't had time to ship them, but they will all go out inevitably, and it's free, so whatever, F you. Drinking a Steel Reserve. We just had some tequila.
Thank you. It's not a dude reads Goosebumps until they know what you're drinking.
Mm-hmm. And let's dive into Vampire Breath. Chapter. Actually, you can sing and I can't. Hit me with the chapter one. Very loud.
Chapter one.
When a werewolf creeps up behind you at night, he steps so silently you can't hear a thing, like Legolas. You don't know the werewolf is there until you feel its hot, sour breath on the back of your neck. I leaned over and blew a big blast of hot air onto the back of Tyler Brown's neck. That's a seduction move. That's what mystery tells you to do, is just breathe on their neck.
Sounds like a nice fart.
And then nag her. I said nag her.
I'm not sure. Get back on tape on that one.
Oh, nag her, please. The kid's eyes bulged out and he made a sick, choking sound. I love babysitting for Tyler. He scares so easily. You should see the face he makes when he sees my ding-a-ling. The werewolf's breath freezes you so you can't move, I said in a whisper. You can't run away. You can't kick your legs or move your arms or flick your nipples. That makes it easy for the werewolf to rip your skin off. I've never heard that about werewolves. Nor have I heard their intention being to rip your skin off. Don't they either kill you or just turn you into a werewolf? Does it? If anyone's a Twilight expert, I was about to say email me, but don't. I don't want to talk to you.
There's going to be a lot of preemptive Twilight stuff going on in this book, I think.
Oh, yeah, it is vampires and werewolves.
It's going to be like R.L. Stine might be onto something here.
It's stolen.
Another stolen. How stolen.
This one's going to be highly erotic, even though no one in the world's ever been attracted to a Native American. Come on.
R.L. Stine needs an erotica series.
Oh my god. Never mind. I sent another hot blast of werewolf breath onto Tyler's neck. I could see him shiver. He made a soft, whimpering noise. Stop it, Freddy! You're really scaring him. My friend, Kara Simonetti, WAP, scolded me. She flashed me a stern scowl from the chair across the room. Tyler and I were on the couch. I sat real close to him like babysitters shouldn't, so I could whisper and scare him good. Freddy, he's only six, Kara reminded me. Look at him. He's shaking all over. He probably just has the DTs, you know? Just one beer will get rid of that.
He's six.
Yeah, exactly. He loves it, I told her like a creep. I turned back to Tyler. When you're out late at night and you feel the hot werewolf breath on the back of your neck, don't turn around. Uh-oh, I whispered. Don't turn around. Sing it.
You just did such a good job. Don't turn around. And then what comes next?
Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, yeah. Don't let him know that you can see him, because that's when he'll attack. I shouted the word attack, just like Dune didn't. And then I leaped on Tyler like a babysitter shouldn't and began tickling him with both hands as hard as I could. Rock hard. He let out a shout. He was crying and laughing at the same time. I tickled him until he couldn't breathe. Then I stopped. I'm a very good babysitter. No, you're not. I always know when to stop tickling before the pee-pee comes out. That's the line that you don't want to cross.
I was having trouble figuring out in these Goosebumps books when... I learned probably about an hour in when the main character is a boy or a girl. When it's the I.
Yeah.
To visualize this, I have no idea just how inappropriate it is based on it being a guy or a girl.
I assumed it was a dude just because...
See, I assumed it was a girl.
Just because it sounded exactly like me.
Seems to be recurring.
Now it makes sense, though, that it's probably a girl, because people usually hang around, never mind, Goosebumps has more of a boy and a girl being best friends than real life.
This is true.
Aside from the homosexuals. Life. Yeah.
It takes me a long time, and this one will be no different.
Yeah. Alright, we'll figure it out. I tickled him until he couldn't breathe, then I stopped. God damn it. Kara climbed to her feet. She grabbed me by the shoulders and tugged me away from Tyler. He's only 6, Freddy, she repeated. Okay, so they said Freddy earlier.
What?
What's that? You think it's one of those, like, super,
It's like Charlie?
Yeah. Where they end up being cute for some reason, even though they have a dude's name. That's why if I have a daughter, I'm going to name her Tyrone. I grabbed Kara, wrestled her to the floor, and started tickling her. The werewolf attacks again, I shouted. I tossed back my head in an evil laugh. Wrestling with Kara is always a big mistake. She punched me in the stomach so hard I saw stars. Really? Red and yellow stars. I was tripping balls. I rolled away, gasping for air. Do you ever have the breath knocked out of you? I have, Freddy. That's something that's happened to me. It's not fun. It's not a good feeling. I know I just said that, Freddy. You really think you'll never breathe again? That's not true, Freddy. Making me see stars is Kara's hobby. She does it all the time. She can do it with one punch. Kara is tough. She's into softball, if you know what I'm saying. That's why she's my best friend. We're both tough. When the going gets tough, we never crumble. Well, how tough does the going get at that age? Ask anyone. Freddy Martinez. Oh, yeah. Hispanic people actually do tend to have worse lives younger. They have to, like, fend for themselves. Probably because they have so many siblings, you know, you always gotta fight for that one scrap of food.
No comment.
Uh-huh. And Kara Simonetti. Two tough kids. Two total badasses who play by their own rules.
So yeah, it's a guy girl.
Yeah, and they wrestle.
Punch each other in the stomach hard enough to...
Yeah.
The breath, you know.
Yeah.
Breath precursor.
Vampire breath. A lot of people think we're brother and sister. I guess it's because we look a little alike, Swarthy. We're both pretty big for 12. She's an inch taller, but I'm catching up. We both have wavy black hair, dark eyes, and round faces like Eskimos. We've been friends ever since I beat her up in 4th grade. Who hits girls ever? She tells everyone that she beat me up in the 4th grade. You should let her tell people that. You shouldn't jump in and be like, no, I was the one who punched you in the face, idiot. Girls, you know, they're always lying, you know. When you get older, you'll hope that they actually lie about you hitting them the other way.
Seriously.
Yeah.
The 90s. Good times. What do you think?
No way. Want to know how tough we are? We like it when our teacher squeaks the chalk against the chalkboard. It's not tough. That's tough. Oh, never mind. They corrected me right away. Anyway.
Freaking tough, man.
Yeah. Tyler lives across the street from me. Whenever I babysit for him, I call Kara, and she usually comes along. Tyler likes Kara better than me. Probably because Kara doesn't beat women. She always calms him down after I tell him stories to scare him to death. It's a full moon tonight, Tyler, I said, leaning close to him on the green leather couch in his den. Did you look out the window? Did you see the full moon? Ooh. Tyler shook his head. He scratched one side of his short, blonde hair. His blue eyes were wide. He was waiting for the rest of the werewolf story. He's just picking on Tyler because he's all dirty and greasy and swarthy like us two. Yeah. And
I
the kids...
I'm like the little boy from that Breaking Bad episode in like the meth house.
Oh, God. Why'd you remind me of that one?
It was a cool part.
That wasn't a meth house. Remember, there were junkies that were selling the meth, remember? Because I always talk about how that show's weird. Yeah, the show's weird because they never really show negative sides of meth use. The worst people were the heroin addicts they showed, which is true or bad.
Why nobody cared about that aspect of it. They certainly glamorized it in ways.
And the other thing I read about Tuco was he probably wasn't that bad of a dude. Bear with me. Because the only times he ever, like, went crazy and attacked people and killed people were after snorting Walt's meth. But he was, like, a low-level drug dealer and tweaker, so the stuff he was getting was probably, like, 20% pure.
I guess that's true when he killed his
yeah, he just snorted a huge line of stuff that was literally 5 times stronger than he's used to. So he just tweeted all the time. He did a dose 5 times stronger, went crazy and shot someone. He probably isn't always violent.
In the desert. Oh, that's interesting.
It's always when he does that. It's very interesting.
Well, it's still the evil one when it comes down to it.
Yeah, he is. And the, the other thing
even
I read.
Even in the beginning.
The other thing I read is we're all supposed to go on the ride where we like Walt, and we're supposed to try to hate him, but we grow with him. So we always kind of like him, even at his worst when he's poisoning kids. But the reason that Skylar's there is because she's the voice of reason. The only bad thing she does is when she finds out her husband's a horrible person, she has no one to go to and has sex with someone else and stuff. But that was one time, and everyone's like, oh, she's a cunt, she's a bitch, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and she looks just like Caitlyn Jenner. But
aside from that,
but she's reasonable.
Yeah, she got a bad rap, and she's pissed about that. And wrote some article.
And another fan theory I heard is the son retarded. Okay. Sorry. His blue eyes were wide. He was Down syndrome widely placed on his face. What? He was waiting for the rest of the werewolf story. I leaned closer and lowered my voice. When a werewolf steps out under the full moon, his hair starts to grow on his face, I told him. His teeth grow longer and longer and piggity-iggity pointier. They don't stop until they reach under his chin, like when people are doing bad impressions of Chinese people. Fur covers his body like dune, and claws grow out from his fingers. I raked my fingers down the front of Tyler's t-shirt like a creep, and he gasped, like anyone else would in that uncomfortable situation. You're really scaring him, Kara warned. He isn't going to sleep at all tonight. I ignored that pitch, because come on. And then the werewolf starts to talk. I whispered, leaning over Tyler. The werewolf walks through the forest, searching for a victim. Searching. Hungry. Walking. Walking.
He's just a thriller.
I heard the footsteps in the living room, heavy footsteps thudding over the rug. At first, I thought I was imagining them, but Tyler heard them too. Walking. Walking, I whispered. Don't wolves... If you could become a wolf one night out of the month, wouldn't you run?
Seriously. Walking is the least threatening thing.
Yeah. Terrible. Tyler's mouth dropped open. This was my chance. Just kidding. The heavy footsteps thudded closer. Kara turned in her chair to the doorway. Tyler swallowed hard. We all heard them now. The heavy, thudding footsteps. A real one! I shrieked. It's a real werewolf. All three of us screamed. Ah! Ah! That's three.
Home Alone's 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
Chapter 2.
Give me a break, the werewolf said. Of course, it wasn't really a real werewolf. It was Tyler's dad. Ah, dads, they're so hairy. You know what I got recently?
What's that?
The first little hair going out the nub of my ear. The tragus or whatever. Oh. Yeah, I'm getting there. It's really disgusting.
No.
What are you three doing? Mr. Brown asked, pulling off his overcoat. He had blonde hair and blue eyes like Tyler was a total hunkosaurus. Scaring Tyler to death, Kara told him. He rolled his eyes. Didn't you do that last time? But seriously, stop disturbing my fucking son. What am I paying you 3 cents an hour for? We do it every time, I replied. Tyler loves it. I patted the kid on the back. You love it, right? I guess, he said in a tiny voice. Hey, Nick, you smoking some pot?
Maybe.
I'm drinking some Steel Reserve. Just open a second tall can.
Cheers, Dune. Can't believe I'm watching Dune Reads Goosebumps live. This is awesome.
We didn't live together.
And now I...
Can't believe I'm going in the bathroom after Dune just shit it up. Living the dream. Oh, wow.
That smells like...
Tyler's mom stepped into the room, straightening her sweater. Were you telling werewolf stories to Tyler again, Freddy? She demanded. Last time, he had nightmares all night. No, I didn't, Tyler protested. That sucks to fuck with a kid that much. Parents don't get much sleep anyway. I get mad enough at my fucking cat waking me up every morning. Miss Brown, tisk a tisk. Mr. Brown handed Kara and me each a $5 bill because they're cheap as fuck. Thanks for babysitting. Do you want me to walk you home? No way, I replied. Did he think I was some kind of wimp? It's just across the street. Kara and I said goodnight to the Browns. That means they gave up heroin. I didn't really feel like going home yet, so I walked Kara home. She lived on the next block. The full moon shone down on us. It appeared to follow us as we walked, floating low over the dark houses. We laughed about my werewolf story, and we laughed about how scared it made Tyler. We didn't know that it would be our turn to be scared next. Really scared. See what that is right there, Nick?
Drinking break.
That's a drinking break. Saturday afternoon, someone called Ludacris. Kara came over. We hurried down to my basement to play air hockey, more like tonsil hockey. A few years ago, my parents cleaned the basement up and turned it into a great playroom. We have a full-sized pool table and a beautiful old jukebox down there. Mom and Dad filled the jukebox with old rock and roll records. I looked into getting a jukebox recently, then I was like, fuck that. I have a phone. Last Christmas, they bought me an air hockey game. A big table-sized motherfucker. Kara and I have some major hockey battles. We spent hours slapping the plastic puck back and forth and side to side at each other. We really get into it. Our air hockey games usually end in wrestling matches. Just fuck. You're getting there. Just like real hockey games on TV. You know, in the locker room, what they do. I hate air hockey.
Really? I was going to say, as far as the 90s go, I don't think there's any dream greater for a little kid than have an air hockey table at their house.
All I know is just the horrible black and blue fingernails of it smacking into you.
You had an older brother, though. It would probably just destroy you.
You had an older sister and an older half-sister.
This is some good RL writing, though.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem different. Something about it. The sexiness. It's
earlier, I think, than the ones I've been doing recently for some reason. We leaned over the air hockey game and started to warm up, shoving the puck slowly back and forth across the table. No lube. Not trying to score. Where are your parents? Kara asked. I shrugged. Beats me. You know how they are. I made a meth pipe motion to Nick.
I got to see it.
She narrowed her eyes at me like a China woman. You don't know where they went? Don't they leave you a note or something? I made a face at her. They go out a lot. Sometimes 3 or 4 days at a time. They love selling our TV. They're funny. Probably to get away from you, Kara exclaimed. She laughed. I had just come from karate class and wrestling with Kara, because different words come. I stepped around the hockey table and made a few karate moves at that bitch. Bitches love karate. One of my kicks accidentally landed on the back of her ankle. Hey! She cried angrily. Freddy, you jerk! When she bent over to rub her ankle, I shoved her into the wall. I meant it as a joke. I was just goofing. But I guess I don't know my old strength. She lost her balance and slammed hard into an antique china cabinet filled with old dishes and presumably opium. The dishes rattled and shook, but nothing broke. I laughed. I knew that Kara wasn't really hurt. I reached out to help pull her off the front of the cabinet, but she let out a roar of an attack and came hurtling towards me. She's probably planning on hurtling him. I'm going to get some water this time.
I get it. Naked Greek wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Greco-Roman.
I'm with you.
Her shoulder caught me in the chest. I uttered a hoarse choking sound. Nay! Once again, I saw stars. Brad Pitt, Chris Pratt, Mario Lopez. While I gasped for air, she grabbed the hockey puck off the game table. She pulled her hand back to heave it at me. By the way, how out of touch am I that I come up with Mario Lopez as a hot star right now?
I just love that you stared into the distance as you just summoned. I didn't know what you were looking at.
I was just thinking about dimples.
Man.
But I wrapped my hand around hers and struggled to wrestle the puck away. We were laughing, but this was a pretty serious fight. It doesn't seem like a serious fight. I think you don't understand what it's like to be tough. Don't get me wrong. Kara and I do this all the time, especially when my parents are out and my pants are down. I pulled the puck from her hand and it went flying across the room. With a loud karate cry, I swung free of her. We were both laughing so hard we could barely move, but Kara took a running start and plowed into me once again. Ah, it's called pegging, Nick, when she plows into him. This time, she sent me sailing back, like sticks. I lost my balance. My hands shot up, like my parents were doing wherever they were right now, as I crashed into the side of the tall china cabinet. Whoa! I landed hard. My back smashed into the wooden cabinet side, and the whole cabinet toppled over. That's what we should do, the government cabinets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck D. Things he said.
Yeah, that dude. You gotta fight the powers that be. I don't really like Public Enemy at all. I don't get
really?
It. No. I like Gucci Gua.
I got a letter from my government the other day. I opened it, read it, said that they were suckers.
What'd the letter say? It's probably like his water bill sent by like the city of New York.
And he's like, man, this is the suckers.
Yeah. I don't like Public Enemy. I don't want my music preaching. I just want it preaching about how like they love just like getting laid.
Rock and roll, baby.
Yeah. My back smashed all up in this cabinet side and the whole cabinet toppled over. I heard the crash of broken plates. A second later, I fell on top of the cabinet, sprawling helplessly on my back. Oh, I'm helpless. Don't do anything. They're into BDSM. My cry turned to a painful moan, like I told you. Then silence. I just lay there on top of the fallen cabinet, like a turtle on its back. My hands and legs thrashed the air. My whole body hurt. Uh-oh! That's all I heard Kara say. A simple uh-oh. And then she hurried over. She reached down, grabbed my hands, and tugged me to my feet. We both stepped away from the fallen cabinet. Sorry, Kara murmured. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry. Sorry, Kara murmured. Did I do that? I know, I said. I swallowed hard, rubbing my aching shoulder. I think we're in major trouble. We both turned to check out the damage, and we both cried out in surprise when we saw that the old wooden cabinet had been hiding. What the cabinet had been hiding. Christ, I fucked that up. That was the last line of the goddamn chapter, and I was
so
like,
good.
Yeah, the cabinet was hidden, and I couldn't see the cabinet. No, something was hidden, presumably behind the cabinet. We'll find out what it is. It probably has to do with vampires.
It was like a swing and a miss in T-ball. It was all just teed up for you.
Wait, by the way, I haven't fucked up reading any of this so hard. That's fucking difficult. We're like 24 minutes in. It's very difficult to do this. You know you've done it.
I love you.
I love you too. Chapter number motherfucking 3. A secret doorway, I cried out excitedly, referencing her butthole. We stared at the door. It was made of smooth, dark, possibly brown wood. The doorknob was covered with a thick layer of dust. No more butthole jokes. I had no idea there was a door back there. And I was pretty sure that Mom and Dad didn't know about that shit either. Kara and I stepped up to the doorway. I rubbed my hands over the doorknob like Birdman, wiping away some of the dust. "Where does this lead?" Kara asked, smoothing her black hair off her face. I shrugged. "Beats me. Maybe it's a closet or something. Mom and Dad never mention another room down here." I knocked on the door with my fist. "Anyone in there?" I called. If there was someone living in the creepy door behind a cabinet in your basement, wouldn't you not want their attention? Like, wouldn't you just go in? Fucking A. Kara laughed. "Wouldn't you be surprised if someone answered you?" she exclaimed like Dune. I laughed too. It was a pretty funny idea. Not that funny. "Why would someone hide the door behind a cabinet?" Kara asked. "It doesn't make any sense." "Maybe there's pirate treasure hidden back there," I said. "Maybe there's a room filled with gold coins. I don't know. I've been watching Goonies." Kara rolled her eyes. "That's really lame," she muttered. "Pirates in the middle of Ohio?" Kara turned the knob and tried to tug open the door. I guess some kids would hesitate. Some kids probably wouldn't be so eager to pull open a mysterious hidden door in the basement. What the fuck is he talking about? Kids are dumb as shit and super curious.
I guess how tough these kids are. Remember the chalkboard
nails? I know, they said they're tough, but yeah.
They're like Fonzie and shit. They're not gonna fuck around jumping over sharks.
Some kids would hesitate. They wouldn't be tough enough to put a fork in a light socket. But not us.
This is an interesting writing by R.L. It feels different. I don't feel like
he... Or maybe it's just someone else wrote it and it's really good.
Maybe I'm just high.
That's true. Some kids might be a little afraid, but not Kara and me. No, we're not wimps. We don't think about danger. We're not the new F-words. We're tough. The door didn't open. "Is it locked?" I asked her. She shook her head. "No, the cabinet is blocking the way." What the fuck, you idiots? The door didn't open because the door was blocked? No shit, idiots. I hate these kids. The cabinet lay on its side in front of the door. We both grabbed hold of it. Kara took the top, and I took the bottom. Once again, pegging joke. It was heavier than I thought, mainly because of all the broken dishes inside. But we pushed it and pulled it and slid it away from the doorway. "Okay," Kara said, wiping her hands off on the legs of her jeans. "Okay," I repeated. "Let's check it out." The doorknob felt cool in my hand. I turned it, pulled it, pushed it, bopped it, opened the fucking wooden door. The door moved slowly. It was heavy, and the rusted hinges made an eerie squeak. Squeak! As I strained to open it. "Franklin, how did you sleep through that? Are you just mad because I have the air conditioner on? It's cold, bud."
Like how you pronounce the A in squeak. Squeak.
Enunciation's important to me.
Yes, yes.
Then, standing close together, Kara and I leaned into the doorway and peered inside. What do you think it is?
Hopefully some vampire breath.
It's probably butts. Sorry. Chapter, oh yeah, it's the chapter. I gotta pull up Chrome. It's a chapter number 4. I expected to find a room in there, a storage room, or an old furnace room. Some old houses, like my Aunt Harriet's, have coal rooms where coal was stored to feed the furnace. That's not a coal room, it's a slave room. They're explaining the people who live there had skin like coal. By the way, every time there's an aunt in this, I say aunt in real life. Every time I read it, I say aunt.
Aunt, yeah.
Is that, what's correct way?
They're both correct, but Aunt Harriet might be another Winslow reference, I think, which is...
Interesting. But that's not what we saw. Squinting into total darkness, I realized I was staring into a tunnel. A dark tunnel. Remember I said no more butthole jokes? I reached out and touched the wall. Stone. Stone cold. Steve Austin. Cold and damp. "We need flashlights," Kara said softly as Dune didn't reference flashlights. I rubbed the cold, damp stone again. Then I turned to Kara. "You mean we're going into the tunnel?" I asked. Silly question. Of course we were going into the tunnel. If you find a hidden tunnel in your basement, what do you do? I live in, like, a condo, so my basement has a bunch of people living below me. With skin like coal. And and I feel like they would not find it appropriate if I just went into their homes.
Yeah, tunneling in.
Yeah.
Downwards.
What if I put it in a fire bowl and it's quicker for me to get to work? You don't stand around at the entrance and wonder about it. You explore it. You spelunk it. She followed me over to my dad's workbench. I started pulling open drawers, searching for flashlights.
Fight it. Fight the urge.
Fight pulling open drawers and looking for flashlights.
Fight the urge.
Okay. Where could that tunnel lead? Kara asked, frowning thoughtfully. Maybe it goes to the house next door. Maybe it connects the two houses together. There is no house next door on that side, I reminded her. It's an empty lot. It's been empty as long as I've been living here. Well, it has to lead somewhere, she replied. You can't just have a tunnel that goes nowhere. Yes, you can. You're describing a cave. There is a word for that. Good thinking, I replied sarcastically. Women. She shoved me. I shoved her back. Then, I spotted a plastic flashlight at the bottom of a tool drawer. Kara and I both grabbed for it at the same time. We had another battle. So much sexual tension. A short one this time. I wrestled the flashlight away from her. What's the big idea? She demanded like people did in the 90s. I saw this one first. I said, get your own. A few seconds later, she found another flashlight on the shelf above the workbench. She tested it by shining in my eyes till I screamed at her. That's how people go blind, jabroni. Okay, ready, she said. We hurried back to the door. Our flashlight beams crisscrossed each other. They turned each other's overalls backwards. Crisscross each other over the basement floor. Jesus Christ, my brain.
Basement floor.
Basement, sorry. I stopped at the open door and shot the light into the tunnel. Kara's light bounced off the stone walls. They were covered with a layer of green moss. On the smooth stone floor, small puddles of water glimmered in the darting rays of our flashlights. Damp in there, I murmured. I took a step into the tunnel, moving my light along the walls. The air instantly felt colder. I shivered. Brr! Like the tattoo I just showed you, Nick.
Ice cream cone.
Startled by the change in temperature. No way. What's Kara saying right there?
Brr.
And what's it say on my leg right here?
I wonder what... Brr.
Oh, it's one less R that I have, right? Whatever. I'll stick and poke one in there.
Next to a Monty Python tattoo.
It's not a Monty Python tattoo? What are you talking about?
42?
That's a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy tattoo.
Oh, damn it.
Got graphics
wrong.
I raised my light and it's cold in here. There must be something in the atmosphere. I raised my light and aimed it straight ahead. I can't see where the tunnel ends, I said. It could stretch on for miles and miles, just like your mama. Only one way to find out, Kara replied. She raised her light and blinded me with it once again. Ha ha, gotcha. Not funny, idiot. I protested. I beamed my light into her eyes. I like how they're exploring this incredible tunnel under the house that clearly has a water source, and they're just sitting there shining a light in each other's eyes. They need to fuck to get the tension out and get the poison out so they can think straight and go exploring. That's why I beat off every time before I go into a cave, or if I'm driving through a tunnel, or if there's like under a freeway.
Preach.
You know, or like a tree that hangs over a red, I'll beat off before then, too. I just spit on you, I'm sorry. Not funny, I protested. I beamed my light in her eyes. We had a short flashlight battle on the Everest 1. We both had bright yellow spots in our eyes. I turned back into the tunnel. Heyo! I shouted. My voice echoed again and again. Anybody home? I called. Kara shoved me against the damp stone wall. Shut up, Freddy. Why can't you get Circe? I am Circe, I told her. Come on, let's go. I bumped her with my shoulder like a bully from a sitcom. I wanted to knock her into the wall, but her feet were planted hard. roots. She didn't budge. I lowered my light to the floor so we could see where we were walking. Kara kept her light aimed straight ahead. We made our way slowly, stepping around puddles. The air grew even colder as we walked deeper into the passageway. Oh, it's just like The Descent. Have you seen The Descent?
Great movie.
I think I texted you about it because I went into it knowing nothing and it was rad. Our shoes made soft, scraping sounds. The sounds echoed eerily off the stone walls. After about a minute, I turned back and glanced to the basement doorway. It was a narrow rectangle of yellow light, very far away. The tunnel curved. The stone walls appeared to close in on us. I felt a shiver of fear, but I shook it away. Nothing to be afraid of, I told myself. It's just an empty old tunnel. This is so weird, Kara murmured. Where can it lead? See, by context, I knew it was lead and not lead.
You're smart.
Yep, no problem. We must be under the empty lot next door, I guessed. But why would someone build a tunnel under an empty lot? See, we grew up in Southern California, so we don't know. Every house here is, or every lot has a house on it because people want to live here. But they said they lived in Ohio where people don't want to build houses because then they'd have to live in Ohio.
That's
yeah.
Where the empty lot comes from.
Exactly,
I didn't
yeah.
know what those two words meant.
Yep, yep.
I was confused.
Yep, I went to Detroit once and there was lots of empty lots because they were in Detroit, which is a shithole filled with sadness. Mm-hmm. Kara raised the flashlight to my face, like some sort of narc-ass police officer. She grabbed my shoulder to stop me. Want to turn back? Of course not, I shot back. I don't either, she said quickly. I just wanted to see if you wanted to. Our lights played over the damp stone walls as we followed the curve of the tunnel. We leaped over a wide puddle of water that covered the entire floor. Then the tunnel curved one more time, and a door came into view. Another dark wood door. Our flashlight beams slid up and down the door as we hurried up to it. Hello in there, I called. Hey-o! I pounded on the door. No reply. I grabbed the doorknob. No. Doorknobitude. It doesn't say that. Maybe the doorknob turned. I take that back. Kara held me back again. What if your parents get home? She asked. They'll be really worried. They won't know where you are. Oh, they'll be spun out of their gourds. They don't know anything. Well, if they come down to the basement, they'll see the cabinet on the floor, I replied. And they'll see the open door that leads into the tunnel. They'll figure out what happened, and they'll probably follow us in here. You know how tweakers are. Probably, Kara agreed. We've got to see what's on the other side of the door, I said eagerly. I turned the knob and pulled that motherfucker open. The door was heavy, too. Just like your mama. And it creaked eerily as it opened, just like the first door. We raised our flashlights and sent our pale beams of light ahead of us. It's a room, I whispered. A room at the end of the tunnel. Our lights danced over the smooth, dark walls, bare walls, just like my 12-year-old bare balls. We stepped side by side into the small, square room. Franklin, stop chewing it yourself. What's the big deal? It's empty, Kara said. It's just an empty room. No, it isn't, I replied softly. I really hope there's something in the room, and he's not going to be like, all rooms have opportunity if you decorate right.
Yeah, there's always a room at the end of the tunnel, kids.
Yeah, there's not always room at the end of the tunnels, kids. You know the It Gets
Fucking Wall.
The It Gets Better campaign, that's for gay people, because it's really fun to be gay. It's a party lifestyle. You're just out doing stuff every night and doing drugs. But when you're straight, it doesn't get better, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Congratulations, gays. Nice work.
I guess shit to look forward to.
No, I can get married right now. To you.
Now I can. Turn this off.
Okay. What's the big deal? It's empty, Kara said. It's just an empty room. No, bitch, it isn't, I replied softly. I aimed my flashlight at a large object on the floor in the middle of the room. We both stared straight ahead at it. Stared in silence. What is it? Kara demanded finally. A coffin, I replied. It's like you have a keyboard here.
This is where I'm going to interject with social media stuff. On Twitter, I'm at Dune. On Instagram, I'm at Dune _M.
I'm following you.
On Facebook, there's facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps. And you can email me at Dune@DuneReadsGoosebumps.com. Nick, on the other hand, has no Twitter. You deleted your Facebook?
Yeah.
He deleted his Facebook. Do you have Instagram now?
No
Instagram.
I'm still following you, though, in my heart.
Uh-huh. Do you have any social media?
I have the website that allows me to donate money to you, which is a pretty sweet website.
Patreon.com/Dune, I think.
That's the only website I go to.
But the point is, you really have no social media anymore, and you're single and trying to date? Are you on Tinder?
Not anymore, no.
What are you on? How do people get a hold of you?
They don't, and it's awesome.
Because I got really into using those makeup apps to put makeup on dudes, and I tried to find your face, and I couldn't find it.
Oh, I got out just in time, clearly.
If anyone wants to date Nick, you can hit me up at Dune@DuneReadsGoosebumps. I'll get back to you on that after I get back to the people on the buttons.
Or come to the Brad Williams show tonight in San Diego.
This is not going... maybe it will. And he looks like...
not real.
Almost exactly like Brett from Flight of the Conchords. Sorry, but you do. Almost exactly.
Yeah, I'll take it. Brett.
So that's what he looks like. All right. The next one. Okay. By the way, this is going to be the longest Goosebumps ever.
We'll cut this in post.
Nope. The fifth chapter. This is taking forever. Yeah, yeah. I felt my heart skip a beat, much like my parents were doing wherever they were. I wasn't scared, but my body started to tingle all over. A cold tingling. Excitement, I guess. Kara and I both aimed our flashlight beams at the coffin in the middle of the floor. The light circles bounced up and down over the dark wood. Our hands were shaking. I've never seen a coffin before, Kara murmured. Neither have I confessed. Except on TV. Like you saw it on the network where you buy things, QVC. That's what I was talking about. The light reflected off the polished wood. I saw brass handles at both ends of the long box. What if there's a dead person inside that motherfucker? Kara asked in a tiny voice. My heart leaped again. My skin tingled even colder. I whispered. Who would be buried in a secret location under my house? I raised my light and swept it around the room. Four bare walls. No Cool Balls poster?
None.
Smooth. Sad. And gray, like an alien. No windows. No closet. The one and only door led back into the tunnel. A hidden room at the end of a twisted tunnel. A coffin in a hidden underground room. I'm sure Mom and Dad don't know anything about this or how to properly raise a child, I told Kara. I took a deep breath and made my way closer to the coffin. Where are you going? Kara demanded sharply. She hung back near the open doorway. Let's check it out, I replied, ignoring my pounding heart. Let's take a look inside. Whoa! Kara cried. I don't think we should. I turned back to her. The light from my flashlight caught her face. I saw her chin... I added an S to it. Quiver.
Oh, she's fat.
Yep. Her dark eyes narrowed at the coffin. You're afraid? I demanded. I couldn't keep a grin from spreading all over my face. God, I like when things just burst on my face. Kara, afraid of something? This was a moment to remember. No way, she insisted. She was going to say no way, Jose, but we already established that he was of Hispanic origins, yeah, and that would be offensive, yeah. I'm not afraid, but I think maybe we should get your parents. Why? I asked. Why do we need my parents around to open up an old coffin? I kept the light on her face. I saw her chins quiver again. Because you don't just go around opening coffins, she replied. She crossed her arms tightly in front of her, covering her enormous fat girl boobs. Well, if you won't help me, I'll do it myself, I declared. I turned to the coffin and brushed my hand over the lid. The polished wood felt smooth and cool. No, wait, Kara cried. She hurried up beside me. I'm not scared, but... this could be a big mistake.
You're scared, I told her. You're scared big time.
I am not, she insisted. I saw your chins tremble just like when you jog. Twice, I told her. So you're scared. No way. She let out a disgusted sigh. Here, I'll prove it to you. You know how you listen to old Loveline and stuff now?
Yeah.
You have the biggest pot laugh ever.
I know. The classic pot laugh.
Nick, you smoked... We started smoking pot when we were like 13 or 14, right?
Sure.
Right?
Somewhere, yeah.
And then I got in trouble when I stopped smoking pot. And then you were like, I need to smoke pot forever. And I started drinking, which I do constantly because I have a serious problem with alcohol. But...
You've mastered.
You recently, for the first time, said, I've smoked pot every day for years and years. I'm going to stop.
Yes.
Just like Caesar did from the Podcord podcast. How long did that last?
It lasted a month. A month. And then I had to go back.
Oh, wait. Caesar lasted a week.
A month was tough. And then I had to relearn how to smoke weed. It was like physical. It was like PT, physical therapy, but pot therapy.
If you're going to explain what the abbreviation is, you don't have to actually say the abbreviation first. And then I was like, what the fuck? Oh, wait, damn it, I was going to say WTF. Fuck it, I'm going on because I fucked up. Point is, you got a great pot laugh, and it's very... If you want to love one, they would call you on that so quick.
Yep. Good thing I'm just on DRG.
Yeah you are. Keep saying something while I find out what's going on.
/dude reads goosebumps.
Thank you.
To be exact.
She handed me her flashlight. Then she grabbed the coffin lid with both hands and started to lift it open. Whoa, it's really heavy. She groaned, mom joke, help me. A shiver ran down my back. I shook it off and set the flashlights down on the floor. Then I placed both hands on the coffin lid. I leaned forward, starting to push up. Kara and I both pushed with all our strength. The heavy wooden lid didn't budge at first, but then I heard a creaking sound as it started to lift. Slowly, slowly, it raised up in our hands. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Leaning over the open coffin, we pushed it, pulled it, bopped it again, pushed it until it stood straight up. Ejaculated and came to a rest. We let go of the lid. I shut my eyes. I didn't really want to look inside, but I had to. I squinted down into the open coffin. Too dark. I couldn't see shit. Good, I told myself. I let out a sigh of relief. But then, Kara bent down and picked up the flashlights from the floor. She slipped mine into my hand. We aimed our lights into the coffin and stared inside! We'll find out what's inside the coffin in Chapter 6. This is going to be the longest episode ever for half a book. Then I'm going to force you to stay here and do the other half.
Can't wait.
Chapter number 666. The coffin was lined in purple velvet. I think that's a Prince album. The velvet glowed under the light from our flashlights. We swept our flashlights up and down inside the coffin like a janitor with flashlights. Doesn't he also do like blue velvet? No.
That's a movie by David Lynch. Purple Rain.
You can't bring up black artists and mention lynching. It's empty, Kara stammered. No, it isn't, I replied. Isn't that what you said about the room, too? Kara needs a... Wow, almost choked. Some glasses. My light locked on an object at the foot of the coffin.
Kara.
A spot of blue against the purple velvet. I couldn't see that. I'm colorblind. Blue and purple, same color. As I moved closer, it came into focus. A bottle. A blue glass bottle. Probably has vampire breath in it.
Or drugs.
Weird! Kara exclaimed. She saw it too. If it has drugs in it, it probably has laudanum.
Laudanum.
I want laudanum so bad it hasn't existed forever. Laudanum is just opium and alcohol. That's like what Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein on, yeah.
With that Lord Byron.
Yeah. They're just banging. That whole experience is in that Invisibles book right there. Anyway, we both moved to the foot of the coffin to see better. I pressed against the side of the coffin as I leaned close to the bottle. My hands felt frozen now. Kara reached past me and picked up the bottle. She held it in the white beam of light from my flashlight, and we both studied it carefully. You called that word. The bottle was round.
and dark blue, like a Smurf. It fit easily in Kara's hand. The glass was smooth, like a young boy. The bottle was closed by a blue glass stopper. Kara shook it. "It's empty," she said softly. "An empty bottle inside of a coffin?" "Definitely."
"Whoa, whoa." "Weird,"
I cried. "Who could have left it here?" "Hey, there's a label." Kara pointed to a tiny square of blue paper glued to the glass. It's probably a tab of acid. "Can you read it?" she asked. She raised the blue bottle to my face. The tiny label had faded, old-fashioned looking letters on it. I squinted hard.
Old English.
Old-fashioned letters, yeah, that's what gang members have tattooed in their face. As a gang member myself, I know. The words had been rubbed until they were little more than smudges. I held my light steady and finally managed to make out the words. Vampire Breath. Mm. That's the book name. I didn't just read it on the cover, idiot. Huh? Kara's mouth opened in shock. Did you say Vampire Breath? No, I said breath, bitch. I nodded. That's what it is. But what could it be? She asked. What is Vampire Breath? Beats me, I replied, staring into the bottle. I've never seen it advertised on TV. That's not how you judge everything, Nick.
That's all he knows.
They don't advertise drugs on TV, and it's like the tightest thing ever. Kara didn't laugh at my joke. She turned the bottle in her hands. She was looking for more information, but the label only had two words printed on it. Vampire Breath. I turned my light back into the coffin to see if we'd missed anything inside. I swept the light back and forth. Then I leaned over the side and rubbed my hand over the purple velvet. It felt smooth and soft, and I instantly developed a fetish. When I look back at Kara, she had tucked her flashlight under her arm. She was twisting the glass stopper on top of the bottle. "Hey, what are you doing?" I cried. "I'm trying to drink and I'm so fat I hope it's soda." "Opening it," she replied. "But the top is stuck and I can't seem to..." "No!" I shouted. "Stop!" Her eyes flashed. She locked them on mine. "Scared, Freddy?" "Yes, I mean, no," I stammered. I agree with you, Kara. We should wait for my parents to get home. We should show this to them. We can't just go around opening coffins and taking out bottles and..." I gasped as she tugged at the stopper. Fucking bitches. I wasn't afraid or anything. I just didn't want to do anything stupid. How often do I fuck up? Don't look at me like that.
You're a fraidy cat, just like he is.
"Give me that," I shouted. I grabbed for the bottle. "No way." She swung around to keep me from getting it, and the bottle fell out of her hand. We both watched as it hit the floor. It landed on side. Bounced once. Didn't break, but the glass top popped off like a bottle of pop-off. When was the last time you had pop-off?
Maybe when I was 18 years old.
Probably 3 months ago. Kara and I both stared down at the bottle, not breathing, waiting, wondering what would happen.
Chapter 7.
It took me a few seconds to figure out what was making that hissing sound. Then I saw a smoky green mist shooting up from the bottle, like my parents were shooting up in a motel. The thick mist rose up like a geyser, chilly and wet. I felt it float against my face. Ugh! I groaned when the sour smell reached my nose. I staggered back. Choking, I started to gag. I thrashed both hands wildly, trying to brush the mist away. "Go away, air!" That's what he's saying. "Yuck!" Kara cried, making a sick face. Tie. She pressed her fingers over her nose. "It stinks!" The sickening fog swept around us. In seconds, the mist billowed all over the room.
Billowed Baggins?
I can't breathe, I gasped. I couldn't see either. The fog blocked the light from our flashlights. "Oh," Kara groaned, "it smells so bad." My eyes burned. I could taste the sour fog on my tongue. I felt sick. My stomach gurgled like I had massive rhea, and my throat tightened. Why don't you walk out of the fucking room?
Vampire breath stinking up the room.
I understand it's vampire breath, but my whole point is you're in a goddamn room. Walk out of it. Walk to your living room and go eat some Cap'n Crunch.
The shock.
Yeah. I've got to plug up the bottle, I decided. If I close the bottle, this disgusting mist will stop spurting up. I dropped my knees like I wished Carol would, and my flashlight clattered to the floor. I felt blindly against the floor until I found the bottle. Then I swept my other hand in circles till my fingers curled around the stopper. Struggling not to gag like a sorority girl, I shoved the stopper into the bottle on the top and shit. I jumped to my feet and held the bottle up so that Kara could see that I closed it.
Water.
She didn't see me. She had both hands over her face. Her shoulders were heaving up and down. As I set the bottle down, I started to gag. I swallowed hard, not making jokes. Again! I couldn't get the disgusting taste out of my mouth, nor could I wash away the shame. Hours I spent in the shower, crying. The sour fog swirled around us for a few seconds more. Then, it lowered itself to the floor, fading away. Kara? I finally choked out. Kara, are you okay? She slowly lowered her hands from her face. She blinked several times, then she turned to me. Yuck, she murmured. It was so gross. Why did you grab the bottle like that? This is all your fault. Women just blaming the man. Huh? I gasped. My fault? My fault? She nodded. Yes, if you hadn't grabbed the bottle, I would never have dropped it and... But you're the one who wanted to open it, Butterfingers, I shrieked. Member, you pulled the top... You were fucking pulling the top off, sorry. Oh, she remembered. She brushed at her sweater and jeans with both hands. She tried to wipe the awful smell away. Freddy, let's get out of here, she demanded. I don't know why I do that tone every time on that line.
You have to.
It's in every Goosebumps. Yeah, let's go. For once, we agreed on something. I followed her to the door, halfway across the room. I turned back, gazed at the coffin, and gasped. Kara, look, I whispered. Some motherfucker was laying in the coffin. Holy hole in the donut, Batman! Chapter number 8. Kara screamed. She grabbed my arm and squeezed it so hard I cried out. See, they're not as tough as they think they are. We huddled together in the doorway, staring back into the dark room. Maybe someone's developing photographs. Staring at the pile, the pale form in the coffin. Are you scared? Kara whispered. Who? Me? I choked out. I had to show her I wasn't scared. I took a step toward the coffin. Then, another. Give me 2 steps. She stayed close by my side. The beams of light from our flashlights darted shakily ahead of us. My heart started to pound. My mouth suddenly felt dry like dunes. It was impossible to hold the flashlight steady. It's an old man, I whispered. Probably our age, because they're kids. But how did he get there? Kara whispered back. He wasn't there a second ago. She squeezed my arm again, but I didn't really feel the pain. I was too excited, too amazed, too confused to feel anything. God damn it. Whatever. How did he get in there? Who was he? Is he dead? Kara asked. I didn't answer. I crept up to the coffin and shone my light in. The man was old and completely bald. His skin stretched tight against his skull, smooth like a light bulb, which my parents were currently using to smoke methamphetamine. His eyes were shut, like my parents wouldn't do for days. His lips were as pale as his skin, drawn tightly together. He had tiny, white hands, like a white version of CeeLo. Look at pictures of CeeLo. That guy's hands are tiny and it's weird. Thin as bones. They were crossed over his chest. He was dressed in a black tuxedo. Very old-fashioned looking. The stiff collar of his white shirt pressed up against his pale cheeks. His shiny black shoes were buttoned instead of laced. That's weird. Did shoes use a button?
Never heard of
button. I feel like lacing technology is way simpler than button technology, but maybe I'm wrong.
By the way, I laced your steel reserve.
When are you going to lace it with? It's going to bother me. Is he dead? Kara repeated. I guess so. I choked out. I had never seen a dead person before. This is uncomfortable. I just came from a funeral. Again, I felt Kara's hand on my arm. Let's go, she whispered as Dune didn't make a reference to the first Rancid album, like he generally does when someone says, let's go. Let's get out of here! Okay, I wanted to leave, just as Mulder wanted to believe. I wanted to get away from there as fast as I could, but something held me there. Something froze me in place. Staring at the pale old face, at the old man lying so still, so silent, in the purple coffin like a dead pimp. And as I stared, the old man opened his fucking eyes and blinked and started to sit up. Nick's petting Franklin, and Franklin's very happy about it. Chapter number no. Just kidding, I read it in German. I gasped and stumbled backward. If I hadn't hit the wall, I think I would have fallen over. The flashlight fell from my hand. It clattered loudly to the floor. The sound made the old man turn in our direction. In the trembling beam from Kara's flashlight, he blinked several times. Then, his tiny, pale hands rubbed his eyes, as if rubbing the sleep from them. Oh, I'm sure there's so much squig in your eye if you were dead.
Especially if you're some sexy vampire that's getting laid all the
time. Oh, there is so much sex, you know. You can get so many STDs in your eyes and people don't know about it. He groaned softly and tried to focus on him, squinting and rubbing his eyes. My heart pounded so hard I thought it was about to explode through my shirt. Parents' meth addict joke. My temples throbbed, and I let out sharp, wheezing breaths. Wheezy breath, baby, the breath is for... Oh, wait, never mind. I, Kara stammered. I could see her whole body shaking as she stood in front of me, training the light on the old man in the coffin. Where am I? The old man croaked. He shook his old man gross-ass flaky head. He appeared dazed and presumably confused. Where am I? What am I doing here? He squinted in the flashlight beam. His pale, bald head glowed in the light. I thought vampires were supposed to be forever young. Forever!
Is he, Link from Encino Man?
Even he was young forever. Even his eyes were pale, sort of silvery. That gets you a weed card in San Diego. He licked his white lips. Ew, he looks like, what's the crackhead from Chappelle? His mouth made a dry smacking sound as if he wanted his smacks. I need to stop making so many comments. I'm so thirsty, he moaned in a hoarse whisper. I'm so terribly thirsty. I wish I could drink a steel reserve like Dune's about to.
If only there was something as gross around like vampire breath.
He sat up slowly with a loud groan. As he pulled himself up, I saw that he wore a cape. A silky, purple cape that matched the purple of the coffin. You know, I read about capes recently. People are like, why do people start wearing capes? They're like, well, first they wore capes, and then they added sleeves to them, made them into cloaks, and then they cut them shorter so they're reasonable, and they're called jackets, asshole. Stuff evolves. No one wants a cape anymore, idiot. That's all. Hey, if you listen to this and you wear a cape, knock it off.
Unless you're Liberace.
He knocked it off. Do the hiv. He licked his pale lips again.
So thirsty.
And then he saw Kara and me. He blinked again and squinted at us.
Where am I?
He asked, staring hard at me with those eerie silver eyes.
What room is this?
It's my house, I replied, but the words tumbled out in a weak whisper, unlike how I delivered them.
So thirsty, he murmured again. I could really go for a
Capri Sun brand beverage. Groaning and muttering to himself, he lifted one leg over the coffin, then the other. See, he's just like us, Nick. He gets out of his coffin one leg at a time. He slid. Jesus, what was that choking sound? He slid onto the floor. He didn't make a sound when he landed. Legolas again. He seemed so light, as if he didn't weigh anything at all. I bet he had such a sick thigh gap. A chill of fear froze the back of my neck. I tried to back up, but I was already pressed against the wall. I glanced to the open doorway. It seemed 100 miles away! The old man licked his dry lips in the disgusting way that old people are always doing that. Still squinting hard, he took a step toward Kara and me. He smoothed his cape with both hands as he walked. "Who are you?" Kara managed to choke out. "How did you get here?" I cried, finding my voice. "What are you doing in my basement? How did you get into that motherfucking coffin?" The questions burst out of me, like the alien from the movie Alien. "Who are you?" "Franklin, what are you doing, bro?" He stopped and scratched his bald head. For a moment, he appeared to be struggling to remember who he was. Then he replied, "I am Count Nightwing." It's a faggy name. He nodded, as if reminding himself, "Yes, I am Count Nightwing, and I am in the thespian club at my school." Kara and I both uttered gasps. Then we started talking at the same time. "How'd you get here? What do you want? Are you a vampire?" He covered his ears with his eyes. He shut his eyes. "The noise," he complained. "Please, speak softly. I've been asleep for so long." "I wish I could sleep, but you fucking asshole pets wake me up every morning. Hey, Franklin, I had to go to the funeral today so I could sleep until 9. What'd you do at 6:30? "Woke me up so you could pee? Jabroni."
I like your vampire voice, though.
Oh, is it the one I'm yelling at my pets for waking me up?
No.
Oh.
Never mind. I'll let it naturally come. Don't think about it.
"Are you a vampire?" I asked softly. "Yes, a vampire, Count Nightwing." He nodded and opened his eyes. He gazed at Kara, then me, as if seeing us for the first time. "Yes," he hissed. He raised his arms and began to move toward us. "And I'm so thirsty, so very thirsty. I've been asleep for so long. And now I'm thirsty, and I must drink now."
Ooh, that's spooky.
Yeah.
Bitches.
Yeah.
We're staying spooky today.
When I was on acid a couple days ago, I was kind of got food, which I couldn't eat, and I was like, she called delivery from Papa John's, and I was like, if I see that fucker, I'm killing him. I'm like, I do not want any outsider in my home right now. And he brought pizza, which I didn't touch, and Connie didn't order what I demanded, which was Parmesan breadsticks with chicken breast attached to them, because that's not a thing, because that's what I wanted. And he also brought a pizookie, a pizza cookie.
Oh, wow.
And at one point, I was laying on my back with my legs crossed, perfectly still, holding the pizookie piece on my chest, and I was like, dude, we can sell this image, if you draw it to hipsters, of just pizza vampire, or sorry, pizza Dracula. That was my plan. And I started describing the whole story of pizza Dracula, and then she reminded me, I think, that I was just high and ripping off the Lost Boys. And that's why pizza Dracula is never going to exist.
I just can't believe a pizza delivery person found your house. That
would be very they find it all the time. Weed delivery finds it too. No one has a problem.
Except me.
Yeah.
I came during the daylight for the first time, though, so maybe that'll help me out. I always come in the dead of night.
Are you Count Nightwing?
Yes.
Fag.
I want to suck your blood.
Gross. You're so gay. Chapter number 10. The Count raised his arms and gripped the purple cape. The cape spread out behind him like wings. That's why they call him Nightwing. And he rose up into the air. "So thirsty," he murmured, licking his dry lips. so thirsty, his silvery eyes locked onto Kara as if trying to hypnotize her and hold her in place. I was never so frightened in all my life. I admit it. I don't scare easily. Yes, you do. And neither does Kara. We've watched 100 vampire movies on TV. There's like 2 good vampire movies. We laughed at them. We think the idea of a guy with fangs who flies around drinking human blood is funny. God, I'm spitting all over. We have never been the least bit scared. But that was the movies, and this was IRL. We had just watched this guy who called himself Count Nightwing rise up from a coffin practically in my basement. By the way, calling yourself Count Nightwing's douchey. Like, I would never go to Starbucks and be like, yeah, can I get like a triple espresso over ice for Dune? I'm always like, Zach, and then they're like, how do you spell it? And I'm like, H. Because I used to say however you want, but then I realized that's more syllables than just saying H. And now, he had his arms spread out, and he was floating across the room towards us, muttering about how thirsty he was, narrowing his weird, frightening eyes at Kara's throat. So yes, I admit, I was scared, but not too scared to move. Hey, I gasped and grabbed Kara's arm. Come on, I cried. Let's go! She didn't budge. Probably because of her weight. Kara, come on, I screamed, tugging her. Because she was like a tugboat. She stared up at the pale face of the vampire. She didn't move. She didn't blink. I grabbed her arm with both hands. I tried to drag her away, but she stood rooted to the floor, as frozen as a statue of Buddha. So thirsty, the old man croaked. I must drink now. Kara snapped out of it as the vampire apparently turned Italian. I cried, snap out of it, please. I pulled with all my strength and dragged her to the door. As we reached the tunnel, Kara blinked and shook her head, letting out a startled cry. She tugged her arm free and started to run. We both burst out of the little room and ran through the curving tunnel. Our shoes clapped loudly on the hard stone floor. The noise echoed off the walls. It sounded as if 1,000 kids were running from the vampire. Or just like 2 with an echo, because that's what echoes are like.
Metaphorical.
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty deep. My legs felt rubbery and weak, but I forced myself to run. We ran through the dark tunnel, following the curve of the stone walls. Kara leaned forward, her arms stretched in front of her as she ran. Maybe she's a mummy. That's going to be the plot twist. She gripped the flashlight tightly in one hand. The light bounced all over like lights don't. But we didn't need it. We knew where we were running. To the basement.
Away from the
basement. God, you keep talking, I'm choking. Too late. Kara is a very fast runner. Faster than me. See, you get to be faster when you're a girl. That's why Bruce Jenner turned into Caitlyn Jenner, so you get back in the Olympics. That's just good science. As we turned again, her long legs were pumping hard like an ostrich, and she was pretty far ahead of me. I glanced back. Was the vampire following us?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
He was close behind, floating near the ceiling, his cape flapping behind him. Kara, wait up! I cried breathlessly. How fucking selfish do you have to be to tell someone to wait up because your fat ass can't make it quick enough when a vampire's chasing you? Hey, don't run so fast. That's bitch made. I'm sorry.
Not to shut on your point, but she was the fat one.
Oh, yeah, they're both fat now. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mention that.
Okay.
You know Mexico has the biggest rate of obesity in the world, right?
Really? Yep. The churro, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all they eat.
Once they filled it with cream, it was all over.
Yeah. But, yeah, the point, he's fat too. Point is, seriously, there's a vampire chasing you and say, wait up, you're a terrible person. A yellow rectangle of light came into view up ahead like 2001 A Space Odyssey. The door to my basement. If we can just get to the door, I thought, if we can get to my basement, we can slam the door behind us and trap Count Nightwing in the tunnel. If we can get to the basement, we'll be safe. Mom and Dad must be home by now. Probably not. I know their lifestyle. I decided, please be home, please. Up ahead, the rectangle of light from the open doorway grew larger. Kara was running hard, uttering a low gasp with each step. I was several feet behind her now, running as fast as I could, struggling to catch up. Kara's the kind of douche who puts a 26.2 sticker on the back of her car. No one likes those people. I didn't turn around, but I could hear the flap of the vampire's cape close behind me. Kara had nearly reached the door. Go, Kara, go! Go, Kara, go. I was cabbage patching and Nick got to witness it. I thought my chest felt about to burst, but I ran harder, desperate to catch up, to reach the door, to reach into the basement, to safety. Uh-oh, I cried out as I saw the rectangle of light grow smaller. The door, it's closing, I shrieked. If it's a rectangle of light, it's the light that's on the outside of the door, or the door's... How would it shrink down smaller, wouldn't it? Oh, whatever. No! Kara and I both wailed as if we are the forgotten people that hung out with Bob Marley. The doors slammed shut with a crash. Kara couldn't stop in time. She hit the door and bounced off, stunned. To be fair, she would have bounced off anything at any speed. I grabbed her by the shoulders to steady her. Are you okay? She didn't answer. Her eyes went to the closed door. She grabbed for the doorknob. Freddy... She murmured, look, no doorknob. There was no knob on this side of the door. Just like Kara suspiciously had no knob when I inspected her after she fell asleep. She only had a front butt. What's up with girls? With a frantic cry, I lowered my shoulder to the wooden door and heaved my body against it again and again. If I was Robert Smith, I would have said again and again. Nothing happened. My shoulder throbbed with pain, but the door... didn't budge. Help! I shouted. Somebody help! Let us out! Why don't you just yell that you have tweaks so your parents come? Too late. Count Nightwing had us trapped. He landed silently, his cape lowered around him. A thin smile spread over his pale face. His silvery eyes opened wide with excitement. His tongue darted back and forth over his caked, dry lips. That's just going to dry him out more. He needs some, like, chapstick or something. Or the stuff that we get from the mall. What's that place called? I'm not going to get into it. I got Burt's Bees. It's not good because I leave it in the car and then it melts.
Would it be good for Count Nightwing, though? I mean, he doesn't have a car.
Oh, yeah. He's in a cold, dank room. Yeah, yeah. That would be good for him.
It'd be a good temperature to hold the
Burt's. I'll tweet him. Run past him, Kara whispered in my ear. Run back into the tunnel. Maybe we can keep him chasing after us and wear him out. They're describing the game Pickle. But the vampire raised his cape to block our way. No, if only we were bulls and we could figure out how to run through fabric. Could he read our minds? Holding his cape high, he stepped up to Kara. So thirsty, he muttered. So thirsty. Then he lowered his face to Kara's throat. I want to give a quick shout out to Nick's roommate who did the theme song for Dune Reads Goosebumps, Dusty.
That's correct. That brings it full circle.
Yeah, you live with him. Does he snore when he sleeps?
No.
Does he have weird roommate habits?
He doesn't really sleep.
Does he have weird roommate habits?
He just stays up all night, pretty much.
That's tight.
And drinks a lot of soda.
He drinks soda? I don't drink soda. That's gross.
But yeah, he likes ice. He likes ice and soda.
I like ice and drinks, but I only drink cocktails.
But I was featured on Night of the Living Dummy and Piano Lessons Kimmy Murder, and then my roommate did the theme song. So.
For everything.
We're all a happy family.
Wow, it's very erotic.
If only you let me do part two, you bastard.
Of what?
Night of the Living Dummy.
There's a third one.
Interesting.
I'll let you take it home. I have the book sitting right here.
With a vengeance?
I don't know what that means. Die Hard 2? Is that a Die Hard joke?
That's Die Hard 3.
Oh.
So that'll be my version, motherfucker.
Well, exactly. All right, next chapter. Chap, 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 chapter. Num, num, number.
11.
Let her go! Let her go! I screamed. I gasped at... I'm going to drink, even though... Remember I said I started over if I fuck them the first two lines? Apparently it's only the first line, because I'm reading on.
The show must go on.
I grasped at his waist, desperate to pull him away. But I only grabbed cape.
Let her go. Stop,
I pleaded, tugging on the cape. Wow, that's a real cape fear.
I couldn't see Kara at all. I could see only the vampire's cape and shoulders as he lowered his head to drink her blood.
But, you know, this is written in the 90s when everyone had AIDS and Hep C, so he's going to die anyway.
Please, I begged. I'll get you something else to drink. Please let Kara go. To my surprise, Count Nightwing raised his head. He stood up straight and took a step back from Kara. Kara raised her hand to her throat. She rubbed her neck.
What is she, a rubber necker?
Her eyes were wide with fear, and her chins, all 300 of them, were quivering. She looked like Honey Boo Boo's mom.
Something is wrong, Count Nightwing said, shaking his head. He frowned. Something is terribly wrong. One, two.
Three things are wrong.
I turned to Kara. Did he bite you?
I choked out. Kara rubbed her neck.
No,
she whispered. Something is wrong, the vampire repeated softly.
He raised a hand to his mouth.
Five fingers in my mouth.
I watched him open his mouth and stick a finger inside. Ooh, erotic. He's trying to turn him on. He shut his eyes and poked around in there.
My fangs, he cried finally.
His strange eyes bulged and his mouth dropped open.
My fangs, they're gone!
He turned away and started examining his mouth again.
I'm sure the parents' fangs are gone, too. That's just a side effect of their addiction.
I saw my chance. I pounded on the door to the basement with both fists. Mom! Dad! Can you hear me? I shouted. Count Nightwing paid no attention to me, just like my parents. I heard him moan behind me.
My beautiful fangs! He cried. Gone! Gone! I'll starve to death without my fangs!
He opened his mouth wide, showing care on me. He had no fangs, no teeth at all. Only gums. He presumably did this to give a prison blowjob. We're safe, I whispered to Kara. He's too old and weak to hurt us, I told myself. Without his fangs, the old vampire can't harm us. We're safe. We're safe, I cried. How wrong could a person be?
Presumably very wrong. That's why he pointed it out. That's I gotta stop it between the chapters, as always, because it's a long one.
Chapter fucking a dozen, the dozenth chapter, that means 12, idiot. The old vampire poked a finger around his mouth, shaking his head sadly the whole time. Finally, he sighed and dropped his hands to his sides.
Doomed, he whispered. Doomed, unless...
Sorry we can't help you, I said. Now, will you open the door and let me back into my motherfucking house, jabroni? Count Nightwing rubbed his chin, having only one. That's because he has a liquid diet. He shut his eyes, thinking hard. Yes, let us out, Kara insisted. We can't help you, so...
The old vampire's eyes shot open. But you can help me, he declared. You will help me.
I can't remember to do all V's and W's. I work with a Russian dude who does that automatically, and I'm so jealous.
This Dracula's Italian, though, which is cool.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Good job.
Draculini. I took a deep breath. No, we won't, I told him. Let us go. Now. He floated up over us. He moved his gaze from Kara to me. His silvery eyes suddenly appeared cold. Icy. They're as cold as ice.
You will help me.
See, I remember that time. He said softly, both of you, if you ever hope to return to your homes again. I shivered. The tunnel suddenly felt so cold, as if a freezing wind was blowing through it.
That's sort of freezing. Fuck it. Don't even worry about it.
I glanced at the door. So close, I thought. We're so close to being safe and sound in my house. On the other side of the door, we would be out of danger. But we can't get there. We can't. We could be 1,000 miles away.
But really, they're like a foot away. That was like a metaphor.
I turned back to the icy stare of the old vampire.
Burr!
Burr, burr!
He's evil,
I realized. Even without his fangs, he's evil. See, he just discovered that the person who eats human beings for sustenance might have some issues with his morality.
Quick, kid.
What do we have to do? Kara stammered and shoved another daiquiri into her mouth. Daiquiri? God damn it. I meant Danish. That was a Danish joke. Yes. What can we do? I repeated. He lowered himself to the floor. His expression softened.
The bottle of vampire breath.
Do I switch the V's?
No, I don't think so.
Just the W's and the V's.
It could be your thing.
Okay.
He said. Did you see it?
Yeah. I replied. We found it. In your coffin.
Do you have it?
He demanded eagerly. He reached out a hand.
Do you have it? Give it to me.
No. Kara and I answered together. Shit. Yeah, obviously.
God.
We didn't take it, I told him. I think I left it on the floor. We dropped it, Kara stammered. The old vampire gasped.
You what? Did you break it? Did you spill the vampire breath?
He's German now.
Dude, I don't do accents.
International.
Yeah. Everything's just Italian or like...
I think we can... That's the only different dialects we can cover here.
Because it's going to be a lot. Because I don't know... I don't do voices. I don't have voices. I don't do comedy. I do serious. It poured out, I replied. The room filled with smoke, Nick. We put the cap back on, but... We must find it, Count Nightwing declared. I must have that bottle. If there's a bit of vampire breath left in the bottle, it will make me do some shit.
Vampire breath.
Sorry, it will take me back to my time.
That is important, actually.
Your time? I asked. He squinted at me. They're going to change the past. I've seen movies about this. It's not a good idea to change the past. Only Bill and Ted can do it because they're geniuses.
Yep.
Your clothing, your hair, you two are not of my time, he said. What year is this?
I told him. I don't know, mid to late 90s? It's a Goosebumps book.
Jerry Garcia just died? No.
Don't. They're touring now again. Isn't it just like Phil Leish is the only original member?
His mouth dropped open. A startled squeak escaped his throat. I have been asleep for over 100 years, which is Dune's dream, he exclaimed. I must find the vampire breath. It will take me back in time, back to when I had my fangs.
You can't just go back in time, Nick. If I went back in time, I wouldn't be as fat.
Apparently, vampire breath has time-traveling capabilities.
That's pretty impressive. I'm exactly. Into time travel. There's a new podcast that Gio and I are thinking of doing, which is just each episode, each one of us will come up with something we would change, a huge thing, if we went back in time, and the other one is supposed to just shoot it down with the consequences of his actions. That's the entire podcast idea.
I do like that premise, but more fangs is my only suggestion. Fangs!
God, fang it. All right.
I stared at him, trying to understand what he was telling us, because old people always talk about dumb shit.
The 70s made good music.
Does that mean you will go away? I asked. If the vampire breath left the bottle, will you go back 100 years?
The old vampire nodded. Yes, he hissed. I will go back to my time.
But then
he's more of a whispery vampire.
No, that's how he talks.
Okay.
But then his eyes turned cold again.
Presumably the kid was just rubbing his eyeballs the whole time to tell the temperature.
If there is any of the precious vampire breath left, he said bitterly, if you didn't spill it all.
There's got to be some left, I cried.
Kara and I followed Count Nightwing back through the tunnel. He floated silently ahead of us, his cape fluttering behind him.
So thirsty, he kept muttering. So terribly thirsty.
I can't believe we're going back into that room, I whispered to Kara as we jogged over the smooth stone floor. I can't believe we're going to help a vampire.
We have no choice, she replied fatly. We want to get rid of him, don't we? My shoes... I'm getting lightheaded. It was like I just did a mini whip-in. My shoes splashed through a puddle on the floor. Presumably, a puddle of mud, which is Nick's favorite band. I felt cold water on my ankles. The tunnel curved, and we followed it into the small, square room. Oh, it's probably like a cube, you know what I'm saying? How rooms are? It's not like, it's not two-dimensional. Count Nightwing stepped up to his coffin, then turned back to us. There is the bottle, he demanded. I picked up my flashlight from the floor. I clicked it once, twice. He's trying to turn on a
vape.
Three
times a lady?
No, he's trying to turn on a vape, dude. I'm making vape jokes. No light. It must have broken when I dropped it. I set it back down on the floor. You can't just throw things on the floor when they're broken. You have to bring them to a trash can. Oh. The bottle, the vampire repeated in a new voice. I must have it. I think Freddy dropped it into the coffin, Kara told him. She stepped to the center of the room and flashed her light up and down the purple velvet of the coffin. No, it is not there, Count Nightwing said impatiently. Where is it? You must find it. You have no idea how thirsty I am. They probably do. He's been talking about it the old times.
A lot of talk about thirst. He has cotton up, I think.
Oh, dude, that guy's heck of 420. We gave each other nucks because you couldn't see it. It's been at least 100 years. He's a good sleeper, I thought. Yeah, because he doesn't have you, Franklin, or you, Yoda. Scarlet lets me sleep, though.
So I don't have pets. No responsibilities.
I got pets. They suck.
Responsibility.
I have to walk Frank. I used to walk him like 3 times a day. Now it's 4 because he's getting old. He's got a pee-pee all the time. He's like over 9 now.
I love you, Franklin.
He's so handsome. Oh, sorry. Kara doesn't talk like that. It must be somewhere on the floor, Kara told him. Well, find it! Find it! The vampire shrieked, using italics. Kara and I began to search the floor. I walked beside her, since she had the only light. She swept the flashlight up and down the bare floors. No sign of the blue bottle. It was probably just a bottle of Hypnotic.
Right.
Have you ever had Hypnotic? It's for black people.
I think that's what Tupac's Thug's Passion is made out of. No,
because it came afterwards, but it's gross. It's like a baby blue bottle of gross sweet liqueur. Black people love sweet liqueur. Like malt liquor. So do they, though, to be fair. Where is it? I whispered. Where? It shouldn't be so hard to find in an empty room, Kara declared. Do you think maybe it rolled out into the tunnel? I suggested. Kara bit her bottom lip. Oh, she's so into him. I don't think so. She raised her eyes from the floor and gazed at me. We didn't break it, did we? I like how she thinks that breaking a bottle just makes it disappear. We would have no problem with trash if we just broke things and they disappeared. Like dust in the wind. No! When I put it... Oh, excuse me.
Drinking break.
Done. No. When I put the cap back on that bitch, I set it down somewhere, I replied. I glanced up to see the vampire glaring at us angrily. I'm losing my patience. Dude, you just slept for 100 years. If I take any nap, I get all groggy when I wake up. What a jabroni, he warned. He licked his dry lips. Like I said, it just makes him drier. His icy eyes moved from me to Kara. There it is! Kara cried. What fucking fake-ass suspense is that? Where it's like... It was like a whole, like... I don't know, 1/50th of this book is just like, I don't know where it is. Where is it? I don't know where it is. Where is it? I'm losing my patience. Where is it? Oh, it's right there.
Yeah, that's our real-life Stein seems to be a lot of drawing out.
Fucking A.
That's why we love him.
Her beam of light froze at the base of the coffin. The blue bottle lay there on its side. I charged across the room, bent quickly, and picked up the vampire breath. Count Nightwing's eyes flashed in excitement. A pale smile spread over his face. "Open it now," he ordered. "Open it and I will be gone. Back to my time. Back to my beautiful castle. Goodbye, children. Goodbye. Open it quickly." I like how he's all nice but tried to consume the girl before. My hands trembled. I gripped the blue bottle tightly in my left hand. I lowered my right hand to the glass stopper on top of the bottle. I grabbed the stopper and pulled it off the bottle and waited. Waited. Nothing happened.
Chapter number 13.
And then I heard a whoosh. I nearly dropped the bottle as a green mist sprayed up through the top. Yes! I cried happily. The bottle wasn't empty. The sickening odor made me gasp, then hold my breath. See what I was talking about? But I didn't care about the smell. I watched the fog thicken until I couldn't see the coffin in the middle of the room, couldn't see Kara, couldn't see the old vampire. Whoop. The dark mist billowed and swirled. I'm gonna drink more.
Billowed and swirled like Bilbo Baggins and swirled up.
I wanted to cheer and jump up and down like House of Pain, but I knew that Count Nightwing would disappear into the fog like Danny Filth, and we would be safe. We would never see him again. Kara, are you okay? I called. My voice sounded hollow, muffled by the swirling fog. It stinks, she choked out. Hold your breath, I told her, like the opposite of the kids on my brother and me. The last time it faded away in seconds. It's so disgusting, she wailed. Kara was standing close beside me, but I couldn't see her in the waves of mist. So damp and cold. I suddenly felt as if we were standing underwater, standing under the ocean, as a wave after wave rolled over me. That's ecstasy, that's what he's doing. Yeah, pop the molly, I'm sweating. I held my breath as long as I could. When my chest started to burn, I let it out in a long, pop the molly, I'm sweating, whoosh. I shut my eyes and prayed for the fog to fade. I'm pretty sure God's like a genie and you only get like 3 wishes, and fog fading shouldn't be one of them. You know? It should be a 14-inch dick. For the mist to lower to the floor and disappear as it had before. Please, please, please let me get what I want, I thought like Morrissey. Don't let Kara and me drown in the disgusting mist. It's probably vape smoke. A few seconds later, I opened my eyes. Darkness all around. I blinked several times. In fact, I blinked 182 times. A square of pale light glowed in the distance. Moonlight pouring in through a window. Window? There is no window in this room, I told myself. I turned and saw Kara. She was swallowing hard.
He keeps saying that.
Do you know, like, the joke I keep making is about oral sex. Do you get that?
I mean...
Have you ever been oral sexed?
I've heard of it. Swallowing hard, though, might be new.
How is your throat more ruined than mine, and I've been reading the whole time?
I'm sick.
Sick and not getting hot. All right. She swallowed hard. I'm going to drink.
Dude.
She swallowed hard, her eyes wide like a Westerner, glancing nervously around the room. He's gone, she murmured. Freddy, the vampire, is gone. I squinted into the dim light. But where are we? I whispered. I pointed to the open window, far away at the other end of the room. There was no window before. Kara chewed her bottom lip, so sensual. We're not in the same room, she said softly. This room is so big, and... She stopped. Coffins! As my eyes adjusted to the light, the low, solid shapes formed out of the shadows, and I realized I was staring at 2 long, straight rows of coffins. Aye, it's 2015, you ain't gotta be straight anymore. That was Knuckles on that one, too. Where are we? Kara cried.
like women, unable to hide the fear in her voice. It must be some sort of graveyard or something. But we're indoors, I said, never hearing of a mausoleum. We're not in a graveyard. We're in a room. A very long room. I gazed up to the high ceilings. And more like the Nick ceilings. Oh, damn! Two glass chandeliers hung down. Hung like Nick, damn! Their crystals gleaming dully in the pale moonlight.
Crystals like Dune, yeah. Rocks.
Yeah, spun crack. The dark walls were covered with huge paintings. Even in the dim light, I could see that there were portraits. Portraits of stern-faced men and women in formal, old-fashioned black clothes. I turned back to the rows of coffins and silently started to count them all. There must be 24 coffins in this room. One! No, I'm not going to do 24. I whispered to Kara, all lined up so perfectly in two straight rows. She added, Freddy, do you think... He took us with him, I murmured. Huh? Kara chewed her lip. Count Nightwing, he took us with him. Franklin, stop biting yourself. I repeated. He was supposed to go back to his castle by himself. He said he would go and never see us again, but... He took us with him. Kara, I'm sure he did. Kara stared straight down at the rows of coffins. But he can't do that, she cried. He can't. I started to reply, but a sound made me stop. A creaking sound. I felt a chill sweep down my back as I heard another creakety-iggity creaking. Closer this time. Kara grabbed my arm, like weird old ladies do, and it's always uncomfortable. She heard it, too. Freddy, look, she whispered. I squinted into the dim light. The coffins, I whispered. They were all creaking open. And so ends part one of fucking, what's this called? Vampire Breath by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Nick, I'd like you to record the whole outro. You can sit in my place. You know the last phrase. Just record it. Say whatever you want.
Good reading, Dune.
Thank you.
That was spooky, and I can't wait to see what Freddy and little fatty Kara are going to get into next week. So... check out Dune, Facebook/Dune.
Hey, she needs to take care of her cholesterol.
See, that's why the master should be sitting here. But that's why we love him, because he's the master. But we'll be back for more Italian/Romanian vampire breaths next week. And until then, stay spooky, bitches!